Translation and prayer put by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My Lord, You are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see You, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattvagun, rajogun, and tamogun. They can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake, is everybody awake? Everybody awake? Or sleeping? Anyone sleeping, put your hand up. Depends how we interpret it, right? They can see only the workings of material nature. In other words, when daytime or nighttime, when you're dreaming or during the day, it's the same. All we can see are the workings of material nature. They cannot see Your Lordship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yaksmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantarakshuchihi. You may be familiar with this mantra, especially those who've attended an initiation ceremony or some yajna. It's generally chanted. And to keep ourselves, Prabhupada says, externally clean, we should bathe once a month. I was reading Prabhupada was saying that Queen Victoria established in England that it was a good idea for English people to take a bath. And they started bathing once a month during her reign. Pretty good, huh? When we were brought up, it was once a week. And Prabhupada says the same thing in his purport. He says that, and they would have one bath, one tub, and one after the other, they'd all get into the tub, take a bath. And we were like that when we were kids, you know. Brought up in a back street somewhere in some industrial place. And we had one, we didn't have a bathroom, full stop. There was no bathroom. No shower. Showers, never knew what they were. Not even a bath. We'd have this big iron tub. And once a week, Saturday evening, we'd all take bath in the same tub with the same water, one after the other. Down. I was at the end of the line. Did you have that, Kishore Prabhu?
I don't recall that one in
mind. Oh, we were more elevated. We were more advanced.
I think you remember that.
Maybe, we're on the other side. Vaguely. And we thought that was clean, you know. And Prabhupada said the French, they invented this eau de cologne or whoever it was, you know, this stuff, so you didn't have to take up, you just squirt it here and there so you couldn't smell the terrible smell coming off of this beautiful body. And anyway, this is the mode of ignorance. To keep ourselves, I said, we should bathe three times daily. Three times. Sometimes he says at least twice. Depending. He said in India, three times is easy. He said in the West, at least twice. If you do three or more, at least twice. And for internal cleanliness, I guess everybody knows this one, we must cleanse the heart by
chanting
what? Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement must always follow this principle. Bhaya Bhyantara Shuchihi. Within and without, clean. This mantra is referring to whether we're pure or impure. Anyone who remembers the lotus-eyed Lord becomes cleansed within and without. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is like more so than what we're seeing each other now face to face. It's very interesting. I mean, this verse has many elements, but two, to me, my limited perception, because I'm still seeing through the modes of nature to a large extent. But I see two major topics here. Ultimate goal, to see the Lord. The process of seeing, well, more than two. The process of seeing the Lord. And the causes why we can't see the Lord. And the third one of those, whichever you look at it, but it's amazing if we really look at it. Even our dealings amongst ourselves, our judgment of each other and of our own self, the world around us, even Krishna, is based upon this effect of the modes of nature. We see someone as a good person or a bad person, but they're not good or bad. They're just temporarily covered by a combination of the modes of nature, that's all. And it may change even the same day. You probably experience that. You go through different moods. Sometimes on Sankirtan, you're distributing a book. Yeah? In the morning, the person swears and curses at you. In the afternoon, they're asking what it's all about. Completely controlled by the modes of nature. They judge each other, attractive and unattractive, simply by... just like our, it's the means of seeing, we can say, the means of perceiving. According to our means of perception, we judge everything. Every living entity has a different set of senses, and we judge the objects according to our set of senses, whether that's what they are or not. You know, we're convinced that that's the way they are, because we're seeing imperfectly, imperfect senses. And this way, there's no end of interesting problems that we can experience in this world. It never ends. Even if we're in the mode of goodness, we're still seeing imperfectly in this world, because there is no such thing as pure goodness in this world. It's always tinged with ignorance and passion. It's always imperfect. And sometimes we become convinced that my ways, and the whole world, I suppose, really is based upon this. Even amongst ourselves, amongst devotees, you know. Tendency may be there sometimes to, you know, see ourselves. It's kind of pretentious religion. Bhagavatam, I was reading this morning, separate from this subject, but Prabhupada was talking about pretentious religion and being non-pretentious. A false identity, thinking we're something we're not, thinking we're something beyond, you know, pride. It's kind of pride, really. And, you know, it's really the coverings of the soul. We're covered. And the whole Vedic society, human society, particularly Vedic society, is meant to, okay, it may not be, we can, this here says transcendental devotional service. One can see the Lord. Our service, okay, we're following the path of transcendence, but we may still be covered. We may still be attached to those coverings, attached to that perception of what people think of me, or what I think of myself. What I want to be, this, that, the other. And if something gets in my way, then we become disturbed. We all experience it to different degrees. Or we get disturbed with other people, with the world, and so on. It's because of simply we're covered by the modes of nature. We think we're the doer. Prakrite kriyamane gunai karmani shtavasha ahankara vimudat makkartara miti mingite. Third chapter, Bhagavad Gita, was it 27? Krishna says, what does he say? Bewildered spirit soul. Huh? Yeah. He thinks himself the doer of activities in this world, which are actually carried out by material nature. This point comes out so many times in the Bhagavad Gita. We're like a passenger. We think we're the driver. In one sense, we're one of the doers, but we're not the active doer. Yeah. We're the desiring doer. And we're the experiencing, in that sense. The reactions and reactions of our own, you can say, our own architect. Man is the architect of his own fortune and misfortune because of our forgetfulness of Krishna. We're seeing things separate from Krishna. Nothing is separate from Krishna, even the modes of nature. So Vedic society is, especially, specifically, to take the situation we're in and knowingly or unknowingly, gradually, if not quickly, to change that perception of life. Because the Vedas, where do they come from? Where do the Vedas come from? Krishna. And sacrifice? In the Vedas, they recommend various sacrifices according to the condition we're in. And if we perform sacrifice according to that condition, and if it's a bona fide, let's say, line of direction, then one can gradually make progress towards realization. Otherwise, we're stuck. We're stuck in this false conception of who we are and what the world, this person, that person, the world around us, how it's all going on, blaming people for this, that, and the other. They're just, as Krishna says, everyone in this material world is forced to act according to their nature, is it not? Now, that's the Svadharma of this world, the conditioned nature. It's related to our eternal Svadharma, or our eternal nature, which is service. Eternal nature of the soul, Prabhupada says many times, the constitution of the soul is service, right? In the material world, we can't divorce ourselves from that, but we're trying to imitate Krishna. We want to be the master. We're seeing ourselves in the center, isn't it? Whatever we look at it, you're 5 feet away from me, 10 feet away from me. Prabhupada sometimes tells that funny story of, was it Gopal Ban and his servant? I'm not sure. Anyway, one of these funny personalities. And his master said, you're just an ass. You're as good as an ass, he said. As good as an ass. No, not a very, let's say, praiseworthy statement. And he replied back, no, there's a difference between me and an ass, my lord. He said, come on, there's no difference. What's the difference? And he measured, 1, 2, 3 feet. 3 feet, my lord. There's 3 feet difference between me and an ass. In other words, he was 3 feet away from his master. We see everything like this, ourselves in the center. And it's an impossible situation. You can adjust it for eternity, trying to adjust the world around us. As Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, you can't do it, it doesn't work. I mean, people are going to do it. The Vedic, we should adjust things according to the Vedas. That's the human society. That's the Varnashram system. According to one's nature in the Bhagavad Gita, we see people, different people are in different situations according to their karma, according to their nature. A conditioned nature. So they're engaged in various ways to gradually purify themselves because they're following the Vedas, which come from Krishna. Sacrifice is more coming from the Vedas. And in this way, they gradually become purified. We have to perform the right sacrifice. If we perform the sacrifice purely under the modes of nature, without direction from the transcendence, we just go round and round in the samsara cycle ad infinitum. This life, that life. One life we're friends, next life we're enemies. We don't know, we're in ignorance. We're biting our own tongue, basically speaking. This goes on and on. So the Vedic directions, the devotees, they're always trying to wake us up from this. Jeev jago. But, we're still very attached. Isn't it strong? Attachment sometimes of identification. likes and dislikes. We look at someone. What we're seeing is only what we're seeing. Someone else is seeing something different. Different religions, different races, different genders, different people. Everything. On and on and on. Different species. As it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, how this material world is like a banyan tree. It's really confusing. We have to cut the tree down. We have to cut it down. We have to, you know, not try to enjoy it, going up and down, in and out, this, that, the other. So the process is giving here. That's one thing. And that's a very important topic to meditate upon, because, you know, we get so disturbed because of this. If we realize it's not really us, it's really just the coverings that we've, you know, gotten from our past lifetimes, it's not us. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, per se. It's just learning how to deal with it, how to utilize it properly, to take, you know, direction from above rather than, you know, here, there, and everywhere. The right direction to guide us so we can utilize this. In the Bhagavatam, it's described there, I think it's maybe Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a good example, of course, you know, of how this process works. You read in the first canto, fifth chapter, he describes there, you know, how he became, to Vyasadeva, how he attained his situation, how he became free of this, let's say, conditional perception of life by association and by the proper approach to that association. Not trying to, you know, sometimes come before somebody. They take even a spiritual master when sometimes the devotee comes. He already got his idea of what he wants, and he's not going to let go until the spiritual master agrees. Sometimes we come with our agenda. Well, that wasn't Arjuna. Arjuna had that agenda to begin with, but then Karpanya doshopa tasvabhava puchamitvam dharma samudhicheta yashcheyasham nishitam bhutam eshishasteham sharimam tvam papanam. Arjuna changed, huh? That was the key. That was the key. This, now I'm a soul surrendered unto you, kindly instruct me. The mood is the mood. We may be conditioned, but it's that mood of actually accepting that we need help, that we need guidance. Not that we're just trying to, you know, I'm qualified, I'm good, I'm bad, whatever it is, all these different attachments we have, these different pictures we have of ourselves and others. Rather, we have to come a little open. And that is this word pretentious, which I think I mentioned earlier, maybe I didn't, but we were reading about it this morning, had this false idea of oneself. We think we're something great, we think we're this and that. It's all false. Whether we think we're not anything great or whether we are something great, it's still pretentious because it's a false perception of ourselves. We think we're mad, we think we're strong, we think we're weak. You read the story of King Rahugana and Jadbharat, how Jadbharat enlightens, you know, King Rahugana in this subject matter. Yes, you're right. I'm not strong. I'm not weak. I'm not fat. I'm not thin. I'm not qualified. I'm not unqualified. I'm not this. I'm not that. Because I'm not this. You're describing is the body, physical and subtle. I'm none of those things. Beyond it. It's just a vehicle. If you were driving a motorbike and someone else driving a car, saying, hey, you're a motorbike and you're a car. Is it right? You may be driving one, but that doesn't, you may be attached to it. You may be identifying with it. But that doesn't mean you are it. That's a false identity. And the only problem in this world, basically speaking, is false identity. Identity crisis. And people try to solve the identity crisis by simply a material thing. But it just, the father says, it moves the problem from here to there, that's all. Or from here to there. Maybe it goes up a rank, but you're still in the prison. I saw a sign one time in New Zealand. It was an interesting sign. You know, the rat race. Everybody knows the rat race, right? You've heard of the rat race? Is it still a term which is used in society? You know, this competitive kind of system of trying to make it, you know, trying to get on there, trying to be a success. How long does it last? You're knocked out after a few minutes. This is people's idea of success in life, the goal of life, you know. Fame amongst the infamous, so to speak, you know, is our idea, you know. But this sign is on the back of a Karmi bus in New Zealand, and it said, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. I thought it was quite good. You know, somebody had a bit of understanding of the situation, even if it was still material. But, you know, you're still in the prison, even if you're up there in heaven. Even if you're the best person on earth. As Mahajudi Prabhu was saying yesterday, we're not here just to, you know, kind of impress everybody and try to be the Mr. Goodman. I am. That's my life is based upon that. But it's nice to understand a little bit. So I don't remember, I don't understand. But to remember these things. And most of my life is based on pretension. What people think of me. Trying to act in such a way as to impress people. Whether it's, you know, giving a class, leading a kirtan. My whole mentality is thinking, you know, well, I hope people like it. Oh my God, I'm not going to go there because that person may point out my faults. I better keep away from them. You know, and so many different adjustments I try to make in life, you know. My life has been probably based on that and much worse things than that, I would say. You know, these are coverings. This is why we can't see Krishna. All we're seeing is some kind of filtered. We're lucky, we're fortunate, we've got some inconceivable good fortune coming into this association of this movement and devotees therein, and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and so on, and the process of chanting. But still, I've still got that strong kind of pretentious nature. I'm still seeing myself in a sense in the center as the enjoyer of this, and maybe the controller, etc., the doer. And hoping that people will say, well done, thank you very much, and you know, get some privileges and so on. This is sex life. This is another form of sex life, which is really, we all know the basic major attachment in this world. But sex life is not just sexual intercourse. It just basically means seeing ourselves as the enjoyer, no matter what level it's on, even in the path of spiritual life. And, you know, don't become depressed or anything. I mean, I did, but I'm trying to get out of it. Try to you know, become positive and you know, actually see that, you know, this is actually a great opportunity to get released. If you're starting to see this, it's a good opportunity. If you don't recognize it, you're completely in ignorance. Even though people think you're in goodness, you're totally in ignorance. People think, you know, and you're totally on the platform, you know, I'm a good guy, you know, really, everyone likes me, you know, I'm doing the best thing, whatever it is, you know. It's complete ignorance. A tinge of maybe some good karma or something. You've got some good karma, but it's not the influence of goodness exactly. Goodness leads to, you know, vision, these clarifications. So Vedic society is to bring people to goodness, and if you're not, then how to act in the various modes is also given to gradually bring us to that mode, because in that mode one has more of a chance to actually understand what is the purpose of the Veda, what is the purpose of human life. It's like, you know, take anything. You can take a window pane. If you look out the window and it's completely dirty, I hope it's not dirty. I hope you're keeping the temple clean. Is it being kept clean? Where's the temple commander? Where's Prayojana? I don't see him anywhere. Why is he the only one who's cleaning? What's wrong with everybody? What's wrong with you guys? Don't you do anything? Don't we know that the first principle in Krishna consciousness is cleanliness? I was there in London. Kulashekhar Prabhu asked Prabhupada, if the temple's clean, dirty, Prabhupada, should we have Bhagavatam class? Prabhupada said, no. You should clean the temple. There's many statements I can read. I bought my computer. I don't know if I'm going to use it. Your clock goes too fast. I could read hundreds of quotes here on Prabhupada about the importance of cleanliness. It's on and on and on. And we usually hear a lot about the internal cleanliness. We don't take that seriously enough either. We all know that. What is that internal cleanliness? It means to associate with Krishna in his various forms within. Hearing the holy name, hearing Bhagavatam, etc. Cleansing our heart within. By association. Cleanliness is by association. As Narada Muni became cleansed by the association of the Bhaktivedantas, he served them, he heard from them attentively, became completely cleansed. The effects of the modes of passion and ignorance disappeared. The whole Bhagavatam is based on this premise. In the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that principle is given, divinity and divine nature. This process of removal of the effects of the modes of nature, so we actually come to see things in a different light, clear light. That's where the pure devotees of the Lord, although they may act in various ways, is it already 8:30? Cool, 8:15. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, they see, even though it's the amazing topic yesterday and wonderful discussion you had yesterday about Madhuri Prabhu giving such a clear response and other devotees too about, you know, Vishwambar Prabhu. Are you here? Vishwambar's here? Is he here today? There he is. Are you here or not? You are here. Okay, good. You sure? Well, you're welcome to leave any time if you're finding this too much, but according to your conditioning. But you know, pure devotees, that whole point, you know, they are really a friend to everyone because they're really acting for the welfare of everyone. And even though they may be strong and heavy and seemingly, you know, acting in a way which we may not take very nice, because we're taking it from a different angle. We're taking it from the conditioned state, and it hurts our condition, doesn't it? It really hurts our condition sometimes. You know, when someone says something strong, really, we get like a snake comes up sometimes. I want to bite you. Or we just go away. Prabhupada says something. He says, a man may tolerate anything in his family. Anything and everything, no matter what it is. Yes, thank you very much. I mean, it's probably worse. You know, the family, they take all your money away, you know, pushing you to the hilt. Thank you very much. He said, but when a sadhu says something, go away. And he's actually acting for our welfare. He said, go away, why are you talking like this? Could have been so attached. No matter another. By Prabhupada's mercy, we have this chance to, you know, get out of this trap, mouse trap, get on the path. But this process of purification within and without is the means. It's not a question of some physical transference. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said the only reform which is required in this world, one who thinks they can reform this world, he says, is in need of reform. That person is in need of reform. You cannot reform this world but by the breadth of a hair. Everything is being minutely guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not under our control. We may think like that, but we're forced to act according to his energies. The only reform required is to expose ourselves to the transcendental sound vibration of the Holy Name. Or hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the Supreme Personality of God, his name, fame, qualities, pastimes, etc. And that's what this movement's for. To create, because society is not creating it. There's no Varnashram system. Daivi Varnashram is not there. If there's any division of labor, if it's based on any quality whatsoever, it's completely material. Even people in the mode of goodness are completely material in this age. So the only Eka Dharma in this age recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is this Sankirtan. This movement is to give people, to create an atmosphere which will help people to start to see things a little differently. But that starts with us, isn't it? If we can't see, how can the blind lead the blind? What's the use? We're still seeing ourselves in the center. How on earth can we preach to anyone? We can give them books, and we can do whatever little we can. But the real effect is, you know, when we start to see things in relationship with Krishna, start checking our mundane ways of acting and perceiving the world, say checking them, but purify ourselves, so we start seeing things a little differently. So external cleanliness is also extremely important. And I'll read something in a few minutes, because we don't hear so much about that, probably. We hear more about the internal process. We don't have time to go much into either of them, but we'll read a few things now, and then we'll conclude, I think, if this works. Let's see if we're in luck. We took this to HP recently, and they fixed the computer for me, as you can see. Latest technology. But it works. It's cheaper than HP. Let's see, where are we now? Okay, here we go. Yeah, as I was saying about the mirror, if you're looking through a window pane, and the window pane's completely blurred and covered, what will you see? A very vague picture, right? Very vague. You can't work out who it is, or your spectacles, anything, whatever you're looking through. And the same thing is with our ears, our nose, our senses. It's like we're looking through these very, you know, covered, let's say, means of seeing or hearing. They're very covered by the modes of nature. So we get a covered result. A perverted, that's what it means, perverted vision in this world. Luckily today, we're going to Krishna vision to get some new spectacles so we can see things properly. Yes, we have to have Krishna vision. Shastra gives us Krishna vision. Prabhupada's giving us Krishna vision. Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of scripture, Om Jnana Timurandasya, Gnanjana Shalaka, giving relevant knowledge to open our eyes. Knowledge which will help, no matter what position we're in, which will help open our eyes so we start to see things a little bit. If you clean that window, then you'll start to see, oh my goodness, I didn't realize there was a tree outside. Oh, that's what you look like. Or if it's tinted blue or green or yellow, you'll see it like that. And you'll be convinced, and you won't fight against it if you don't like blue. But it's not blue. It just seems blue to you, but it's not actually blue. That's not true. The truth is not seen by mundane eyes. It's the reflection only. We're thinking the reflection is the reality. Krishna consciousness is to try to understand what is the reality behind it. So cleanliness is really important here. Unless we are clean, Prabhupada says, unless we are pure, how can we make advancement or to approach the Supreme Lord? The Supreme Lord is described as purest. So unless you're pure, we can't actually understand that or enter into his association. What to speak of seeing? Just like if you want to enter into fire, you have to become fire. You do become fire, you have to, immediately. The demons are not clean, it's the Bhagavad Gita, either externally or internally. They neither like nor follow all these rules for external and internal cleanliness. So if we don't like these cleanliness, be it external or internal, this is an indication there's still a little bit of that demoniac mentality lingering. Oh, no one's looking, I just passed stall. No one's looking, I don't need to take a bath. I can get away with it. What are we here for? Get away with it? Or get out of it? You think Krishna can't see? He's blind? That's the Mayavad philosophy. Krishna sees everything if he wants. His eyes are everywhere. We're here, and this is the process. This is the purificatory process that we try. We do everything we can to follow the relevant instructions of Krishna coming through Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. And it does work. It may take a little while. And when we mix things in, as Prabhupada says, you know, you take sweet rice. How many like sweet? Anyone here likes sweet rice? Still some devotees like sweet rice. Wonderful. Maybe you're not getting proper sweet rice. I don't know how you cook it now. We used to cook the sweet rice on Saturday night for the Sunday feast. And we would cook from 9 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning, the sweet rice. 7 hours we'd cook it. So it would become, we wouldn't put much rice in it, it would be a very, very small portion, but the milk would become, you know, slowly. Cook it very, very slowly. Not this fast system. We want to do everything fast. We're all in such a damn rush these days. We miss the point. Cook it really slowly until it really boils down and it becomes translucent. The rice is just floating, not completely immersed into the rice, into the milk. And then in the morning we put it in a churn and put it into the lake. We didn't have a fridge. We put it in the lake because the lake was usually covered by ice. And then it would become, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, we put it in the ice. And then by about 10 o'clock, it would be really cool. Then we put, you know, like, you know, frozen strawberries or whatever. If we had real ones, we put whatever it was, we put some flavor in there and different things and leave it for a little while. And, jeez, it was like, wow, what ambita. when the sense is completely captivated with hot puris, puffed up puris, not these flat, flobby things that you get nowadays, with oil dripping off of them, enough to kill you. Each one was put upright so that they wouldn't flob. They were all upright and cloth and paper underneath. It was like an art, you know. Everyone was stood perfectly. No one was crushed by the next. So they'd be served puffed up to everybody. Was, you know, a lot of... Prabhupada paid a lot of... Well, he put it into us anyway to do things like that nicely if you can. Especially cleanliness. He really emphasizes so many times. I stress on cleanliness very much. If they keep unclean, I chastise them like anything, Prabhupada said. They have learned this art. I always say cleanliness is next to godliness. Can't have godliness without cleanliness. Now, the whole process of our movement is to clean the world in one sense, within and without, and especially our temples and our homes and our hearts and our bodies and our clothes, everything. Cleaning everything, and the car, and the toilet, everything. Keep it clean. Prabhupada would many times check to see if it was clean or not. And he certainly pointed out if it wasn't. One of the things we're missing, maybe, but Srila Prabhupada would, wherever we'd, as when Prabhupada would come here, some Keshe will probably remember that, huh? Be a marathon cleaning the manor, wasn't it? Do you remember that? I remember Prabhupada's last visit to the marathon, to the manor, excuse me, 1977, August. We had, perhaps you were out on Sankirtan that year, I don't know where you were at that time. I was back here because we were coordinating the Sankirtan, and we had about 70 or 80 devotees out on traveling Sankirtan, all over the British Isles and beyond. And, you know, nobody even... And, we just got about 3 days' notice that Prabhupada was coming. So, oh my gosh, if we knew exactly what was required when Prabhupada would come, well, more or less, everything had to be pukka clean. Prabhupada used the word revolutionary clean sometimes. Not the type of cleanliness of the material would exactly, much deeper than that. Everything really clean. Water cleaned everything properly upside down. So there's only about maybe 15 or 20 devotees back here, and we just went on a marathon for 3 days because many of the sanctum parties didn't ring in every day. We couldn't call them back, you know, some of them were a long way away. I think one was in Iceland, some were in Ireland, some were in Scotland, different places. And if they didn't ring, we couldn't tell them, you know, with no other means in those days. There were no mobiles, nobody had a mobile. Good old days. And nobody had computers, right? Well, no computers, no mobiles, nothing. It was really interesting. So they had to go to a phone box whenever they phone in, and we gave them all times, but they didn't all phone in at the same time. So we had to spend like 3 days and nights cleaning everything. I remember back to Chaitanya Maharaj, who was Raghavir then. He was in a lake. His job was the lake. He was up to his neck trying to clean that lake over there. There was so much garbage in the lake. Because we were so much on this book marathon and back to marathon. We're making devotees. We're churning them out, you know, just like puris practically, you know. They were just 4 to 8 every month, new bhaktas. You remember that? Dhanavir was here, Vipramukhya. And, you know, I was on the Sankirtan. You know, we were just like a machinery going on here with Vichitavir in the helm. And it was amazing. It was just, I mean, that was really going for it, but... A bit of, especially at that time, we were kind of like ignoring the cleanliness factor a little bit. There was lots of things all over the gardens, tree branches and leaves and so many things. And Krishna arranged a wonderful weather. For 3 days it poured with rain non-stop just to teach us a lesson. And I was out in the gardens trying to clean it. It soaked to the skin for days. Don't wait till the last moment. You know, that's our tendency, always. I'll do it at the last moment. I'll chant Hare Krishna at the moment of death. Don't worry. We'll clean it when it comes. You know, any times you arrive in a place and it's like everyone's running around, you know, trying to clean things up. Where's this? Where's that? You know. Think in advance. Painting the last minute. Sometimes the wet paint was still wet when Prabhupada would arrive in his room. The floor's still sticky, you know, the walls are sticky. Mode of ignorance. You know. And last minute, then the mode of passion comes in, you know. We rise to the passion, mode of passion for a few minutes, you know. Anyway, cleanliness, always clean. Take three baths, clean, 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 mind clean, body clean, activities clean, desire clean, thinking clean, everything clean. No contamination. This is the test, Prabhupada said. Food for thought. And it's almost now time for the sadam. Talking about food. Food for the stomach. We hope it's more than just the stomach. We hope we're not going to go there and just think, well, this is nice, I don't like that. You know, oh no, that again. Oh God, no, they put sugar in the porridge. There's no sugar in the porridge, is there? Oh, porridge, is there? We're just looking at it through our conditioned senses, you know. Don't judge Krishna like that. You know, with some things there, you know, we're coming in contact with His mercy, but, you know, we should be a little bit more personal about it, you know. And then Krishna reciprocates. It's the process of cleansing our consciousness, then automatically we can see. It's not a question of, you know, it's just purification. Love of God's in our heart. Nityasiddha Krishna Prem, Nityasiddha Krishna Prem, Sajakabhanai, Shravanadi, Shruti Chiti Kali Udai. It's already there. We just have to cleanse our heart by Shravananadi so we can see things as they are. Primanjana Chita Bhakti Vilochinena Santaksadeva Hideishi Vilokianti. You know, one whose heart is tinged with a salve of love can see Krishna. You have to purify. And love, Prabhupada says, the sign of your love is that you follow these instructions which I'm giving you. The sign of love is you follow these rules and regulations. That's what Prabhupada writes. That's the sign of our love. We may not be on the, you know, the actual blossom, full blossom mood of loving Krishna. We shouldn't imitate that. The love is that we follow, as Arjuna's love was that he followed Krishna's instruction. Our love is we follow Prabhupada's instruction as much as we can. Cleanliness is the first necessity, that is hygienic, spiritual, and calm, quiet. Sure. I'll use the word revolution. I'll just skip through this now. Revolutionary clean. Lecha means unclean without Vedic culture. They are called mlecha. Anyone. It does not mean that any particular class of men is called mlecha. Anyone who is unclean and does not abide by the injunction of the Vedas, they are called mlecha, yavana. Even the health, Prabhupada said, cleanliness is the most important feature. Summit, Prabhupada used summit. That means topmost. The idea is summit cleanliness. That will satisfy Krishna. Temple must be very clean. The more you clean the temple, the more your heart becomes cleansed. The temple should be thoroughly cleansed daily. Should be as clean as a mirror. Every room should be as clean as a mirror. That is first business. The prasadam room should be immediately cleaned after taking prasadam, otherwise you're inviting rats. Be careful. I remember when that letter came here to the manor. Anyway, we could go on and on. There's page after page after page after page after page after page. We won't go any further. Okay, Hare Krishna. I've gone over time. And you definitely don't pay me any extra for overtime here. I probably get fined for going overtime. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Oh, just a quick mention, I'll mention that next week. We're coming back next week, no problems. You torture you still more next week. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada.